Okay, so Sarah, can you just tell me what some of the symptoms are of long COVID and how concerning are they?
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, I had COVID quite badly and ended up in hospital for 2.5 weeks in Kingston Hospital with COVID pneumonia. I think the symptoms are vast. For me personally, it was shortness of breath, racing heart rate, problems with asthma, pleurisy. So yeah, I mean, they're pretty broad, the symptoms, but particularly the hit on your lungs is significant.
So tell me a bit more about how you ended up finding out you had COVID. When did you get it?
So I was confirmed on the 20th of December. My first week wasn't too bad. As you say, a lot of people, it's not too bad, is it? And then second week, yeah, I started ha having real problems with asthma. Ended up calling the ambulance crew out a couple of times because I just couldn't get even from my bedroom to the bathroom without not being able to feel like I could breathe or catch my breath. So it was quite severe for me, but not as bad as a lot of people. So yeah, then I ended up going to hospital. I think it was the 28th, 29th of December, and ended up being in there for, yeah, 2.5 weeks.
Wow. Because I guess a lot of people, they're still developing research around long COVID and what it's meant to be like. But I guess a lot of people don't realize how long it actually lasts. What was your experience in terms of from the first day you got COVID or confirmed that you had COVID to then actually eventually being treated for COVID at the end of it?
What, until I finished being treated for COVID? I was also treated back in the community with the oximetry team, who are part of the GP practice here, and they were fantastic. But I only sort of came off their support, I think it was like 2, 3 weeks ago. And yeah, so I was on quite a lot of steroids. I'm still on a heightened level of asthma medication at the moment. But yeah, it was about 2, 3 weeks ago. So quite a long time, really.
And how many people are typically affected in the UK? I know that there's still research around it, but if you have an estimate of how many people are affected by long COVID.
Oh, that I wouldn't know, I'm afraid. I wouldn't be able to give, because also the problem is with research is it's changing the whole entire time. So I think you'd have to ask a medical expert on that one. But sorry, yeah.
No worries. And in terms of seeking long COVID rehab, what are typically the ages of the people who are actually or who are typically affected by it and are actually then seeking rehab after?
So I had a really interesting call with a few people. I had like a conference call with GP, Annette Pouts, and Martha Early, who's public health lead for Kingston, and another lady who's involved in physio and Get Active for Kingston. And it was really quite surprising because my experience when I was in hospital was maybe about a third of people were not over 65, 70. So, but then, you know, they were saying they'd seen quite an increase of people struggling with long COVID and being symptomatic who weren't just, you know, elderly, who weren't young, you know, all over the place. So in terms of ages, I think we have the other thing I think about COVID is we often obsess on how many people die or don't die. And I understand why that is, because it's really drastic. But actually the number of people struggling with symptoms weeks and months afterwards is I think quite acute, and it's quite a problem for us, and it's definitely a problem for the NHS and how they support and help people that it with a disease that wasn't existing before.
So tell me about the work of Voice of Hope and the active breathing course. So what can people who are seeking long COVID rehab to expect from the course?
Yeah, so Voices of Hope is a charity based in Kingston and supports Kingston and Richmond primarily. And we go back before COVID. We're running multiple choirs, and particularly not we weren't a choir business. We're very much a charity, and a lot of our work was based on encouraging people to use singing together as a way of improving their physical and mental health. And we ran, I think it was 5 or 6 choirs in elderly homes or dementia centres. And we had to spend at least 20 minutes of our session really based on doing breathing and singing exercises to help improve people's lung function. Because without that, you literally get no sound. So you're not going to have a choir without actually addressing an underlying issue of people's lung function. And so we've done a lot of work in the past on that But then obviously COVID hit. The last year has, we've had quite a change of direction. A lot of people know us in Kingston for the food projects we run. So we've, you know, been doing Meals on Wheels with the Kingston Food Hub. And then we started the Bright Box project, sending boxes of, well, the healthy meal kits to families. And then we started the Good Food Co-op, which is a not-for-profit fruit and veg box that people can order, and the profits are used to provide a subsidised route for people who can't afford to buy healthy fruit and veg. So we're, in some ways, over the last year, we're very well known for all of those food projects. And I think the start of the active breathing course, or ABC, for me is a really lovely return to our roots as well. So we're not that we're stopping anything else, but because, as I said, we have a lot of background in helping people with trying to improve their breathing and improve their lungs. And actually breathing and singing exercises are widely accepted as a way to improve breathing, help restore lung function and capacity, as well as gain muscle support. And all those things really help. So not all your symptoms of COVID are going to be covered by an active breathing course, but definitely for those that struggle with their breathing, and also people with other respiratory diseases like COPD, severe asthma, things like that, you know, it's a way of really supporting people in the community to help improve their own health. And a lot of, I think one of the things that really struck out to me, or stuck out to me when I was in hospital, was a number of people, and actually I found it really quite distressing, was a number of people that left hospital severely ill. So they went home with oxygen cylinders, being supported in the community from a medical point of view, but there's very little out there. And I know things are popping up, and that's fantastic, but there's very little out there in a way of a therapeutic support where people can really do things that will help improve their breathing. A lot of stuff like going for a walk that would, you know, improve your general fitness, or it is completely out of reach when you are deoxygenating just from going from your room to the kitchen, you know. So we, having seen that, and having also that kind of a bit of experience in the work that we previously did, that's really where the idea of the active breathing course came from.
Yeah, you sort of touched on it. I was going to say it can be quite a scary time for people who have long COVID, where they feel there might not be a roadmap out of it, although you've been, may test negative, but then you still have the symptoms and you're kind of thinking, when does this end? How important or beneficial is it then for people to seek long COVID rehab?
I think, as I said, I don't know that I can talk on the whole of COVID rehab, but all I do know is that if people don't feel like there's even a way that they can be involved in recovering, I think that mentally is incredibly difficult. And so I know that when I left hospital, my GP was fantastic at going, okay, this is the team that you're under. This is, if your oxygen levels are between this and this, you need to do this and try and do this and try and do that. And so just having that support was really important for my mental health and feeling like, okay, I'm not on my own in this. It's not a complete unknown where I have to figure it all out by myself. And so I think anything that gives people that opportunity to be with other people that are maybe going through a similar thing or the same thing really helps limit that sense of being isolated on your own in a long recovery process. And that's hugely significant.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, as you touched upon all the different singing activities that you guys do and some of the other work you do, tell me a bit more about how the course supports people's mental health.
So The idea really, in terms of it supporting mental health, is one, it provides people an opportunity to come together, which is a fantastic thing to do. And also, as I said, just being with other people that have faced similar experiences. Our tutors are, you know, being trained up, but very much are going to have an approach where they will be asking people, how are you doing? So it's a caring, supportive environment for one. But also the very nature of singing, and this is one of the reasons why choirs recently have become so popular, is that when you do breathing and also meditation and breathing exercises and all that kind of thing have taken a real resurgence recently in terms of helping people's mental health. And this is partly because the parasympathetic nervous system is triggered by breathing exercises and singing, and it helps you function from a rest state. And together with like the increase of your endorphins, it actually really helps to improve your mental health over time, you know. So it's something really interesting that your body does when you breathe in a deep diet, you know, you breathe from your diaphragm and you take the time, and also when you sing, it's an incredible thing.
I know how much I love my singing. My parents get quite annoyed with me, but then do it. Sarah, it's been great to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time to speak to me this morning.